Our God is a missionary God, and we are His missionary people. You're listening to The Sent Life, the official podcast of the Center for Great Commission Studies at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Short-term mission trips. Now, are they really worth it? Today on The Sent Life, that's what we're going to be talking about. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Sent Life. If you'll notice, your hook today did not come from Scott Hildreth. Scott's actually not with us today. And on the episode that we're doing today, I'm going to be flying solo as far as hosting, but I've brought a couple of guests onto the podcast today, and we're going to be talking about short-term mission trips. Now, if you are like me, you have been involved in local churches that have participated in these events, that have got short-term mission trips as a strategy. You may have been a field missionary or are a field missionary now, and there's a bunch of different angles to ask the question from, right? Are these things even worth it? What's the value of having a short-term mission trip? Those at home that are planning the trip and trying to get people at the church to go and trying to figure out which places to connect with and serve, there's a lot of work that goes into that. And is it really beneficial? And then on the flip side, if you're receiving those teams on the field, if you're that missionary out there that suddenly has a connection with a church back at home that said, hey, we'd love to come serve alongside of you and help, what is the value in you participating in this and having this as part of your strategy? These are real questions, and they're ones that I think a lot of times we just don't really talk through, and we all want to assume that this monster that we have created in short-term missions is a complete positive and a complete good. And so what we want to do really for the next two episodes on The Sent Life is take a slow down look at short-term mission trips, see some of their value, how they do actually affect and impact people, and then talk a bit about maybe some steps for starting them on your own if you're a local church. How do we create a healthy strategy of doing short-term missions? And so that's what we're going to take a run at today. Now, for the first episode, what I wanted to do was really start off with a conversation by a couple of people that we've brought on who are students here at Southeastern. Now, if you're unaware, though, if you're a listener to the podcast, you probably know this. We talk about it all the time. One of the big things that we do through our Center for Great Commission Studies here at Southeastern are short-term mission trips. We engage in somewhere between 10, 11, 12 trips a year here at Southeastern that are open to our students. Those trips go literally all over the world. They go either international missions to some of the hardest to reach places. Oftentimes, they'll go primarily to serve alongside our international mission board partners on the field there. We also run a bunch of trips here in North America. Those trips will go to major cities. Sometimes they'll go way out to the middle of nowhere here in the States and engage alongside our North American missions partners, like the North American Mission Board, some of our state conventions and associations, to engage in short-term missions work. So we try to provide our students with lots of opportunities to do this. So as you can tell, cards on the table, we at Southeastern do in fact believe these are a valuable part of a strategy for a number of reasons, for equipping our students, but also for mobilization and helping students discern their own calling. And so what we decided to do for the episode today is to ask a couple of our students who have recently been on a short-term mission trip through the school to talk a bit about that experience and tell us what it was like and if it has had value. What are the ways that it has had value? So what I want to do today is introduce you to a couple of our students. I'm just going to go ahead and turn it over to them and let them tell you a bit about themselves. And then we'll have a conversation. So welcome with me, Chloe and William, into the studio. So Chloe, tell us a bit about yourself.
Thanks. My name is Chloe Rutherford. I am a student here at Southeastern. I'm in the master's program in cross-cultural counseling. I am graduating in May, praise the Lord, after four long years. But I am also in the process to start journeyman probably in the coming year. So,
excellent. So for those who are at home and may not know what the journeyman program is, tell us a little bit about journeyman.
Yeah, the Journeyman program is a two-year program for with the International Mission Board. 20-something-year-olds can go to this after they graduate from college and be sent out all over the world to be a missionary for 2 years.
Excellent. All right, William, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name's William Bowers. I am a Master's of Theology student specializing in ethics. I went on a trip last summer to Japan with a team from Southeastern to complete my first degree that I got through Southeastern. Long term, I'm hoping to do student ministry. I feel called to serve in the local church and to work with students to raise up, train, and equip them to love the Lord and serve Him faithfully.
Excellent. Excellent. So if you'll notice from hearing the different, I guess, potential directions that Chloe and William were considering. Chloe here is thinking about engaging on the international mission field at this point. So she has come to the point where she is working with the International Mission Board to talk through the potentiality of her heading overseas, maybe even in a long-term capacity at some point. And William, on the other hand, is planning on engaging here in the States in local church ministry and being involved in the Great Commission that way. So both of them thinking Great Commission involvement, different pathways, though, that are sitting in front of us. So tell us just a bit about how you guys got to those particular pathways and why you find value in that or how you feel like the Lord has helped you discern that calling. William, we can go ahead and start with you.
Yeah, I think for me, I felt called to ministry when I was in high school. And especially once I was entering college, I just couldn't escape that calling that the Lord had on my life. But specifically with student ministry, I had a student pastor through middle school and early high school for me that both formed me really, really well and helped shape me to love the Lord, both with my heart and my mind. He helped early on help me see that I could love the Lord in those ways. And so I think the Lord used that experience just with a youth pastor that loved me and cared to see me grow up to be a disciple of Jesus. The Lord used that to bring me to want to do the same thing for other students and get to play hopefully a small but instrumental role in helping them see what the Lord has for them, that the Lord loves them and desires the best for them.
Excellent. Excellent. Chloe?
Yeah, it seems like a long process for me. I did not grow up wanting to be a missionary. I became a believer when I was a freshman in college, grew up in the church, but it really was until I made my faith my own. I started to go on mission trips and share the gospel on campus, and through several short-term mission trips, the Lord continued to grow my heart for missions and for people. And I think it wasn't until, so it was a continual process, but last year, specifically working cross-culturally, God really just softened my heart and, showed me the great need to share the gospel with those that, are completely different than me, that may be here in the States or internationally as well. So,
yeah. So you're thinking definitely cross-cultural ministry of some capacity.
Yes.
Now, the location may still be undetermined for you yet. And that's part of what the journeyman process for you is going to help suss out, I assume, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. So we're sitting here kind of talking specifically about short-term mission trips, right? And so you've both got particular pathways and particular means, mile markers that the Lord has used in your own calling to help you get to where you are. But one of the things that I want to do is us talk about specifically in your own setting and in your own calling and that pathway that you have landed on. What has been the value of short-term mission trips for you and coming to some of the conclusions that you've come to or in shaping the way you understand that call? So I think first off, let's start with, I assume you guys both feel, you've both recently been on a trip. In fact, you've recently been on a trip with me. I led both of the trips that you guys went on. Were they beneficial for you? And if so, how?
Yes. It was very beneficial. Last year, I went with Southeastern to Clarkston. It's a town outside of Atlanta. It's known to be the most diverse square mile in America. A lot of refugees get sent there. And so we went to serve with a Sin Relief ministry center there, which that was, I just went because it sounded fun and because you were leading it. So, but I was really surprised just by how the Lord grew my love for those people. I think I had not been exposed to many different religions before. I think I've, you know, probably had a few conversations with people, specifically Muslims, but we got to minister and just get to know a lot of different kinds of people, including Muslims and Muslim women. And so just being exposed to, hey, like these are people, you know, they're not from a different planet. Like, you know, we can still have conversation with them. We can even if they don't know English, like how do we get to know those people and love them? So that encouraged me to go back and spend the whole summer there. And that was just continued to grow my love for them and just give me confidence in the Lord and to be used by him.
Yeah, that's excellent. So there's a couple of things you said in your kind of explanation of the significance, particularly that trip to Clarkston. There's a couple of words that I hung on to. One was exposure, and the other was, I don't know that you exactly said this word, but it's the word that came to mind, is the humanizing factor of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so the opportunity that comes through short-term missions oftentimes, particularly when we get to do it in a place that's a faraway context for us, right? And Clarkston's not far away geographically. It's far away culturally and worldview-wise. What that does is it creates an opportunity, a moment, kind of a parenthesis in a person's life where they're almost forced, really, to be exposed to things that are very different from the settings and the context that they're normally in. And that often does a lot of important things in our heart when it comes to the mission that Christ has given his church, is a fresh exposure, maybe to people that are from a completely different religion than you've ever experienced before, people that are from a completely different culture or background or worldview. And so there's this foreignness that we're presented with, and that causes us to, it confronts us and causes us to do stuff in our heart, right? And then the other side of that, because I actually think this is the other side of the coin, is the humanizing factor that can happen after that initial exposure to this foreignness, right? Because it's easy for us, particularly when we've never been put into the same setting with people from very different cultures and worldviews, to treat them as some kind of theoretical other, right? They're an abstract category almost. And you can do all kinds of things in your heart and in your head with an abstract category that you wouldn't do to a person. And so when you're face-to-face, elbow-to-elbow with people that are from a very different religious background, a very different cultural background, it starts to develop your understanding of their humanity in some ways that are really, really important, I think. And it does create often for us an opportunity to start to develop a care and a concern and a love for those people that are in a very different culture from us. I think that's excellent. That's one of the reasons I love that trip to Clarkston in particular. We do that one here at Southeastern on a regular basis, for those of you who are listening, because of the value of being able to get students into a setting where they're around so many different cultures at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's a neat experience. William, what about for you? So we did the trip to Japan. That's literally a world away from here. It's just about as far away as you can get. How was that a beneficial experience for you?
Yeah. So I actually want to start by saying the primary motivation for me going on the trip was purely pragmatic. I went because it was a part of my degree program. It wasn't something that I sought out on my own. I've been on international mission trips in the past, and I love going. But it was one that I was just doing so that I could graduate, get my diploma. But what I found was that it was really a paradigm shifting trip for me in a lot of really important ways. One key aspect of that trip that was really impactful for me and my ministry and the way I even think about the Great Commission and my involvement in it was one of the days we were there, me and a friend, we got to share the gospel a number of times with different students on a college campus there. And only one of them had ever heard the name of Jesus before. Mm. And it was presented in a history class.
Yeah.
It wasn't as though they had heard of Jesus but didn't know much about him. We were telling them, we were telling these students the name of Jesus for the very first time. And for me, that was one of the most thrilling moments to be able to introduce the Savior to these guys and to be able to give them a brief glimpse into what it means to have true life and freedom. And so that trip was helpful in a lot of other ways, getting to experience a new culture, getting to see a more holistic picture of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. But I think that moment in particular was really the moment that, when I think back on that trip, that's the first moment that pops into my mind of getting to be a really, really small part, but still getting to be a part of the redemption and restoration that the Lord's doing now.
Yeah, that's exceptional. And Japan does create that kind of environment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a fascinating context because it's so very modern.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, it feels Western.
Yeah, definitely.
And then in so many other ways, it doesn't feel Western at all because it's such a radically different culture than ours. And it's a very unreached culture, right? And so you run into people in a setting like that that have, honest to goodness, never heard of Jesus. And that creates a paradigm shift for you. So the experiences then mm-hmm. on a trip like that, particularly being able to share the gospel with people that have never heard of Jesus or the only interaction they've had with him was in a history textbook.
Yeah.
That's a significant experience. Drill in just a bit for me, if you don't mind. How do you think experiences like that have helped shape or form your understanding of ministry? Now, you're planning on doing student ministry here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So how does an experience like that shape and inform the way that you're going to do stuff here?
Yeah. Yeah, I think on the very practical side, I get to make connections with missionaries all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. The missionaries we served with during our time in Japan were missionaries that were sent out from my local church that I'm a part of here in Wake Forest. It was great getting to connect with them. But I think it shapes my ministry in the way I view ministry, because I think it necessitates a different emphasis on the Great Commission than I would have had in the past.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, in the past, you know, it's really easy to tell students, hey, there's lostness all over the world. You know, let's pray for these different countries, and maybe we have some missionaries from our local church setting that we can pray for. But I think understanding the importance of getting students on trips like that, where they get to experience different cultures and different people groups, where they get to be a part of hearing or sharing the gospel with somebody for the first time,
Yeah. Just
to bring them and invite them into that experience. Again, not necessarily with the goal that, you know, we hope that some from those groups would be missionaries, but even if they're not, so that they can understand their place in the universal church. I think those are some different thoughts there.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's exceptional. In fact, the idea behind the short-term mission trip, I think a lot of times, if we're not careful as maybe a local church that's trying to create a strategy here, or even us here at the school, like if we think poorly about the reasons why we would do a short-term mission trip, I think the answer for some might be the value of it is convincing everybody they need to go serve as an international missionary themselves. And one of the things that we have found here at the seminary, and you two are actually a testimony to this, when we send a short-term mission trip, I can't think of one yet that I have personally led. There may have been one, but I can't think of one yet that I've personally led where I didn't have at least one student on the team say back to me after that experience, this has redirected my understanding of my own calling, and I may now be thinking international missions is a thing that I need to do. But I have as many students who wind up going and having one of these experiences, often for the same reason that you mentioned, William, just it's a degree requirement mm-hmm. here at Southeastern. It's actually part of our core for most of our degrees. You got to go on one of these things, right? And we do that on purpose because of this moment, this unsettling that it can create in someone's heart as they're trying to discern through these things. So I have as many students who come back and say, I don't know that this experience has caused me to feel like the Lord wants me to go serve overseas, but it 100% has changed the way I'm going to do whatever ministry I'm in here. And so it gives you a different set of lenses or a different set of glasses through
Absolutely.
Which to view the ministry that you've got in front of you mm-hmm. here. And so all of a sudden, your student ministry is a student ministry that's got a global Great Commission focus in the way that you're thinking about it. And now it's in the down in the guts of how I'm going to disciple these students.
Yeah.
I want them to have an understanding that is perhaps informed by an experience where they get to share the gospel with somebody for the very first time, and informed by a realization of the urgency that is presented by global lostness,
mm-hmm.
right?
And I think if I, as I think about student ministry and my philosophy of ministry, if I stop at this student now loves the Lord. If I stop at merely cultivating in them a love for the Lord, which first is necessary, that's the necessary first step, and I stop short and I don't at least attempt and put resources and experiences in front of them that allow them to love the nations, I am being disobedient as a minister of the gospel and as a pastor of that local church, because I am cutting the legs out from underneath those students and their faith.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I think that's exactly right. And so one of the reasons, one of the values that I think churches should engage in this kind of work is not just, hey, let's convince everybody to go be a missionary, though we want to send people from our own churches to be missionaries. It's also, how does it shape and form the very fabric of the ministry we do at home as well? Because I think a healthy strategy of this will start to feed back into the way you think about ministry in your own church, right? Mm-hmm. But let's turn for just a second. And Chloe, I want to talk to you a bit about the perspective of that person who has engaged in short-term mission trips, and it actually directed you toward the international field. Mm-hmm. And so that's more your experience with these trips. How have short-term mission trips specifically helped narrow in that calling for you?
Yeah, I think it's showed me that, you know, one, that God can use me, and that he's given me specific spiritual giftings and giftings to be used. And, you know, it's kind of like what William was saying, like, I think at the end of my life, like, I'm going to have to answer for those and how I steward them myself. And, you know, there's a part of me that, you know, after going through these short-term trips, I'm like, I think I would just regret not using them more long-term. And and that next step for me right now is journeyman. I don't know what that's going to look like. It could be church, you know, ministry and cross-cultural ministry after that. But yeah, it's given me just the urgency and the confidence that he's going to use me. I remember I've said multiple times before that I just didn't think it was possible for me to do that. I was like, it's just too hard. Like, God's not going to use me. Like, it's just too much, you know? But I have, especially over this last summer, working in Clarkston, even going through some of those hardships, you know, they weren't, wasn't too deep, but I mean, they were, it was hard at times. But, you know, experiencing God's faithfulness over the summer, like, I can be sure that he's going to be faithful in the future when I'm working cross-culturally and in a place that I haven't been yet.
That's exactly what I was looking for. So when you look at the, just to catch you all up who are listening in on the episode here, Chloe mentioned, so she went on an initial short-term trip with us to Clarkston. The trip was impactful enough that she spent her summer in Clarkston that following summer. And now she's considering a 2-year stint with the International Mission Board overseas. And so for her, the short-term trips, they're kind of getting longer and longer here, aren't they? As she moves toward discerning what her calling's going to be. You said something that I think was really helpful in the way you kind of pulled some of that out there. There's this idea that I think a lot of us have when we look at a task like international mission specifically, right? So if we're going to narrow in on those who go on a short-term mission trip and then get called to international service, most of us back at home think there's no way we could go do that, right? Like, that's not a thing that I would be equipped or capable of doing. The missionaries that are out there, they can do that, but I can't. That's a big stretch for me, right? Short-term trips are a first entryway to seeing that you can do it. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really important component for the experience, particularly for those that would be called to go serve in an international capacity. And it's for two reasons. One, you get to go engage in the work yourself, and so you fumble around trying to share the gospel with somebody overseas. And it's cross-cultural, and there's these barriers, and there's these difficulties. But in the end, you come out the other side and realize, hey, I actually did it, and it worked. Like, you know, nothing caught on fire, nothing blew up, everything happened fine. And so this actually worked for me. But the other thing that you get to do on a short-term mission trip is watch the missionaries. So you're working alongside a team and you're seeing them live life over there and you're getting to see how they raise kids and a family there perhaps or how they go about day-to-day tasks alongside the ministry that they're engaged in. And being able to do that, I think, is a really confidence-building moment for a lot of people that feel called into international missions. And so you have the benefit and the value that comes from being able to do that. And you eventually go, you know what, I might could do this. And Christ could perhaps empower me to be engaged in this work as well. That's excellent. So I really appreciate you guys spending some time with us just to talk briefly about the benefits of these trips and how they were helpful for you. What we want our listeners to hear here is the importance of actually engaging in a strategy like this. It's very easy to get lost in the weeds or lost in the details about short-term mission trips. And we kind of want to plant a flag on the fact that we do think they're a good idea when done well. I think they create opportunities for those who may be called to international missions to really have exposure, to get that kind of initial experience and develop the confidence to realize they could go. But for the rest of us who go, it hopefully will change the fabric of our ministry back here as well and create in us a desire to see the nations reached, a desire to send others, a desire to pray for the work that's going on over there, and even change the way we think about engaging the neighborhood around our church. And we hopefully start thinking a little bit like a missionary at home. And so they're very valuable, I think. And I appreciate you guys as people who have attended speaking to that for us. And if you're listening, next week, we're actually going to make this a two-parter. Next week, I'm going to bring on from our office my associate director in the Mission Center. His name's Walter. And Walter and I are going to talk with you about what it looks like if your church is interested in doing this kind of stuff to maybe start a strategy. Where do we begin if we want to engage in short-term missions work? Or how do we, if we're already doing it, make sure we're doing it well? And so that's what we'll be doing next week. I hope you'll join us then. Thanks so much for listening to us. If this has been beneficial, feel free to share it on your social media account. You can, of course, find us at all the places where you find your podcasts. If you've got any questions for us, you can always reach us at cgcs@sebts.edu, or you can find us on the web at thecgcs.org. We hope you'll join us next time. And this is The Scent Line.
Southeastern understands that you have a strategic and valuable role to play in getting the gospel to your neighbors and the nations. That's why we offer over 40 degrees at the undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral levels to equip you to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. Visit sebts.edu to learn more.